Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. You must be patient. Be seated. Thank you. May the Holy Spirit descend to inspire our hearts and imagination. Good morning. Across the next several minutes, I'd like to remind you, bring back to your thoughts the value of something you already know. And as a way to do that, we'll talk about an Irish playwright, we'll talk about how the word patience comes into the English language, we'll talk about St. Paul, a reel-to-reel tape recorder, a person who made a difference in your life, the checkout line at Heinen's, and the remaining 11 days of Advent. The Irish playwright, Samuel Beckett. In the mid-1950s, Beckett was a middle-aged, struggling Irish novelist living in Paris. In 1954, however, he writes a play, Waiting for Godot, arguably the most enigmatic and significant English language play of the 20th century, and one that will, within 15 years, in 1969, bring Beckett the Nobel Prize for Literature. The plot involves two friends, middle-aged homeless men on a barren dirt country road, as they wait to keep an appointment with a Mr. Godot who they've never met and don't even know why they're supposed to meet with him, but were instructed to wait at a certain spot, and if they're not there, there are consequences. The play proved radical because the main dramatic action of the play is waiting. Beckett suggests that the primary action of human life is waiting. Waiting. We're about it every day, aren't we? Our days are filled with waiting. Most of us, most of the time, do more waiting than we do anything else. Waiting for the alarm to go off in the morning, waiting for the kids to get ready for school, waiting in line at Starbucks where we wait along with others who are waiting. Waiting until we're old enough to fill in the blank. Waiting until our kids are old enough to fill in the blank. Waiting to go on vacation, waiting to retire, waiting for Christmas to come, waiting for Christmas to be over, waiting to fall in love, waiting for a special person to be in love with us again. Waiting is at the very core of the human condition. That's a pretty harsh reality. But there's an upside here. Waiting can lead to grace. In the midst of waiting, we can make the choice of patience. It's a choice that offers the opportunity for the moment of grace in our lives. In waiting, we're stuck in a stalled state of being. Patience lifts us out of that. Patience is one of the most positive energies of the human spirit. The word patience derives from the Latin verb partire, meaning to suffer, endure, and there's also the Latin noun patio. Two of the many words that come from that word root are passion, suffering, originally intense moments of endurance, and then, of course, the noun patient in medical terms. Patient, the one who is suffering. In preparing for today's sermon, I discovered that when it comes to the idea of patience, there's a surprisingly distinct difference between the Old and New Testament. In the King James Version of the Old Testament, the adjective patient appears 5 times. And the meaning of it is to endure a trial or tribulation, to suffer through it, to gut it out. By contrast, patient appears far more in the New Testament, We find it 19 times across the gospel, including in today's text from James, and it takes on a much different tone. We're all familiar with what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. In the New Testament, the quality of love is directly connected to patience. Examples of Christ's love and patience are seen perhaps most clearly during Jesus' interaction with his disciples. We see him repeatedly frustrated by their inability to understand much of what he's teaching. Yet, he graciously explains the meanings of parables when they miss the point, and he's willing to do it over and over again because they miss the point over and over again. He endures the disciples' slowness and ambition, even when, if you recall, James and John are jockeying for the best seats in paradise. And then their mother comes into the conversation to urge Christ to give them a good place in the afterlife. Jesus does not turn them away. He takes this and turns this into a teaching moment about who shall be first and who shall be last. Time and again, the patience of Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, rises above the annoyance of Christ. The patience of Christ, in fact, is what taught and transformed those often confused, ragged fishermen into the spiritual force of early Christianity. But going against this default, yet in many respects, impatience is our instinctive condition. It's the unfortunate default aspect of our behavior. But in going against this, this fault can produce a wonderful gift. My father was not a patient man. He was short-tempered with a wide-ranging cynicism. My dad was a secular Scrooge. He was an engineer for Philco in the early days of television, a stressful job, but he was a hard-working provider for his wife and five kids, although he was neither overtly affectionate nor religious. He was a skilled family photographer who built a darkroom in our basement. And one year, he gets this idea beyond the visual, audio, something new, a state-of-the-art Wallensat reel-to-reel tape recorder. His plan is to capture and preserve the immediacy of his kids on Christmas morning, dashing down the stairs, diving into the chaotic surprise and delight of those first moments searching out and opening presents. The ephemeral laughter of our family on this Christmas would be ever held on tape through the years. And I'm sure he explained all of this in his way to my mother, who in her own way is going to try to support the activity. I'm 10, my twin brother's 9, my sister's 6 and 2. All of us waiting for Santa Claus. It's late now, Christmas Eve, long after my parents are back from midnight mass, long after we're tucked away asleep. My dad's downstairs in the living room, setting up microphones carefully positioned, tape threaded on pause, everything poised at the ready. Perfect. Early Christmas morning, 5 of us, up and eager, tumbling down the stairs. Ready, he presses the record button, the reels start to turn, then stop. Oh no. One of the kids knocked the plug out of the socket way behind the tree. Oh no. The high-pitched delight of the Orlock Christmas morning chatters on. But it's not being recorded. It's not being saved. And half an hour later, I remember my dad, this cynical, short-tempered man, after all that preparation and anticipation, sitting in his living room chair with an uncharacteristic patient acceptance, figuring out what went bust and how to get the Christmas recording right next year. Well, next year, the microphones are in the wrong place, and the only sounds he gets are the rumbling of wrapping paper being torn apart. And the next year, one of the kids erases the tape by mistake. And although he tried recording for two more Christmases, nothing. But he never got angry. Never let his frustration push into his family's chaotic celebration on this special morning. Making the choice of patience isn't always easy. You know that. It's not something that for most of us comes automatically. It requires practice, awareness. It requires a moment of asking help from the Holy Spirit. We have 11 days of Advent remaining. I encourage you to shift the focus inward. Who were the people in your life that were patient with you, perhaps when you needed it the most? Parents, teacher, a boss, a coach? Who? Remember, it may not come right away. Keep going. Try to remember a person each day. Pull back that moment to you. Thank them. It's never too late. Patient with others. You're in the checkout line at the crowded grocery store. Someone in front of you is fumbling for exact change in their purse, taking forever. You're in a line of traffic and you let another driver in the line before you. Patience is gracious. It's a gift. And so, to return to the top, we know the value, but we forget to be patient. We're distracted, tired. Practice. Take the time. In the moments of stress and annoyance that inevitably are there in these 11 remaining days of Advent, let's push past the default. Let's ask for the grace. Remember what you already know. Look about and give the gift. Seventy years later, my dad's gift of Christmas patience is what lingers in my heart this Advent season. I'd be hard-pressed to list memorable presents under the tree through the years, but this one is easy to pull up. Amen.